Blog Talk Radio.
Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. I mean, I think people know me with both names. StarsCast, I've had since I worked for America Online, which was back in the 90s. Oh, my God. But a long time ago. So I just kept it, and that's where the Star Psychics comes from and the Stars prefix. And everybody liked it in the very beginning. But anyways, I have a great guest today, of course, and I'll get into that in a few. Right now, I want to tell everybody about what's going on with my sites. First of all, there's mysticlivingtoday.com. That just went up on the 1st. We have our flip version, and then we have the text version, which I do myself. I have a gal who helps me with the flip version. And when you're in the text version, you get to be promoted by my gal, who does every single submission that's there. It's a big job for me because I don't know, we had quite a few. It was a big issue again, but I say that every month, another big issue, but that's what makes it so wonderful. And, of course, everybody knows I celebrated my 25th anniversary online with Mystic Living Today, and that's something in itself. It started out as nothing, a bunch of girls on my living room floor drinking margaritas and laughing, and they said, Natalie, you need to do this. Well, you know, I was open to everything because I only had one website at the time. But nonetheless, it's been going really well. I don't have to ask for anything. I have great publicists that will submit stuff and give me people to put on the radio show like my guest today who was on my show before, and I'm sure she's going to be on again next year sometime. But anyways, that's going really well. Then my stars with a Z, psychics.com. You heard that commercial done by my dear friend Kim. Lots going on there on stars. We're adding phone readings. I did it before. I tried before, but not this method. This is really very advanced, and I'm excited about it. And so you'll be able to talk to your reader. And somebody said, Natalie, are you going to be doing phone readings? Yes, I will be doing phone readings. I don't do chat. I would prefer to do phone, and all the calls will be recorded and all that kind of stuff. But that's coming up. We're looking to maybe launch it the 1st of the week. I don't know, but everybody will get advance notice about it. Also, this is an unadvertised special that I'm going to do. Everybody signs up for an account on Stars, and many times they don't purchase anything. So what I'm doing is I'm sending an email out to all of them and to you. If you sign up on Stars, you'll get 5 free minutes with the purchase of a reading. I'm doing that because most of the readers that will be doing chat will be doing phones. Those minutes will not be interchangeable. In other words, there'll be one rate for one and one rate for another, and I can't be bebopping back and forth because it would be a bookkeeping nightmare, really, for me. We can't do that. But nonetheless, these will be for chat readings, the 5 free minutes with a purchase, and everybody's going to get notice that has created an account. And if you're listening or you listen tomorrow or the next day and you create an account, you'll get an email from me about it, and I will know how to add it because I get all the receipts that come through. So, I mean, if you saw, I have 3 monitors. If you saw all of this, you'd probably pull your hair out and say, how did she do this? But you know what? It didn't start out this way. It started out with one monitor in front of me, and then I added another, then I added another. Because of all that I do at one time. And you know, I think my brain, somebody said I use both sides of my brain, and I probably do because it's working nonstop. I full speed I'm at. And when I'm doing things, I keep an eye on this over here. Your eyes kind of get used to that kind of thing. People say, how do you do this? Well, it's easy. So that's enough about what's going on here. Oh, by the way, the chat readings are $1.99 a minute for now, and the phone readings will be $2.99 a minute when they begin. And all of that is an introductory offer. So I would take advantage of what's there right now. But now I'm going to bring on my beautiful guest who I had back in 2001. She was on my show, and it worked out that she could be on again today, and her name is Carol Obley. And Carol, how are you today?
Hey, Natalie. Good to be with you.
And I want to announce, too, that Carol will not be doing readings on the air, but I will announce her site. If you'd like to go to her website and purchase one there, that would be great. Part of the reason, and her and I talked about it, is that you're shifting gears. All of a sudden I've got to tune into this person over here, and then Natalie's going to be asking me questions, and I have to talk about my book and the new one coming out and all that. It is a lot. I mean, if I can get some of my readers, which I will, come on for just readings, you'll get an announcement about that, and you'll see it on my site, a special. But that will be readings all hour and a half. I have 2 hours a day I can have. But this is different. And it actually, Carol, what it makes me think is how classy you are. This is class. it's true.
I have many years of doing radio readings, many, many years, way back when. I've been at this for 30 years. But it really is flipping a switch to particularly doing mediumship. I mean,
Exactly.
I'm very ethical with it, and I do a little meditation before every private reading, just very, very brief. And I want to give my absolute best to the recipient. So, it's just sort of, not always the best thing to mix interview and
ideas. No, it's not the best platform to be on to be bombarded with all kinds of things and then have to come back and for example, talk to me and be on a different level. Well, okay, we want to discuss about what's coming up for you, what you're doing, and all of that. So let's get started with that now that I made that announcement, and I'll make it throughout the show. If I see people calling in without connecting with them, I will let them know ahead of time, that we are foregoing readings today. But anyways, okay, so tell me, since 2021, what has Carol been doing?
I have another book, as you were mentioning in the introduction. That'll be out later this year. It's in the publisher's hands. And so, as I'm sure you're probably aware, book writing is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it takes a lot of consistency, a lot of diligence of being at the computer every day. If I put my name on something, I want it to be very, very good. So that's consumed a lot of time. And also private readings, which I've been doing, for almost 30 years, on the phone or through Zoom, and teaching. I do a lot of teaching and private mentoring as well. People who feel called to the pathway. This is, the pathway of mediumship. It takes an enormous dedication, and we really should have a mentor who helps us, or someone who is very genuine or legitimate medium if we're considering stepping onto that pathway. So there's been a whole bunch of things that I've done, as well as many podcasts. I have been doing a good many podcasts, being a guest on podcasts, and I'm very blessed with all of that. I love my work. I love helping people, and I know that this is my life purpose.
Well, of course it is. You and I were talking about that. I mean, you have to love what you do. And sometimes people will say, I really love this, but they really don't. And you can tell whether they love it or not. Okay, talking about mediumship, let's talk about that. Okay, when did it first come to you that this was going to be something you could do. Did you start with visions? Did you start hearing? Just a little brief recap of how you began with all of this.
Well, not until my late 30s. So it's been a long road. I developed later in life, like some other mediums that I've listened to or I'm acquainted with. I had something that completely took me off the pathway. I was running a business. It burned to the ground. And I was essentially left directionless for almost a year and was called by a friend to attend a metaphysical center near the small town that I live in here in Western PA. I really hedged on going, but once I did, I felt as if I had come home. I started, Natalie, with hands-on healing. I've been highly trained in spiritual healing. Did about a decade of volunteer spiritual healing for the, you know, just the general public. We would have healing sanctuaries a couple of times a month. And then I also, over a course of 3 to 4 years, became a Reiki master. So Reiki, for those who don't know, is a hands-on healing modality, Japanese. And to this day, I still use Reiki. Very useful, useful, practical energy. So it all began then, and I wasn't doing speaking mediumship in the very beginning. That opened up when I went to a place called Delphi University. It's near Atlanta, Georgia. And there I took intensive training. And ever since, I continue with training. You can never really rest on your laurels in this field. There's always a refinement going on. There's always a sharpening of the innate ability to sense spirit. And ironically, I was very afraid of death when I was young. I was very afraid of it. And I remember going to the funeral home with my when my first grandparent passed over, and I had nightmares after that, after seeing his body. So since then, I have, it's like I've just become a totally different person. I've completely transformed, and it's all due to the work, my work with spirit. And I'm filled with gratitude for that. The work has changed me to the point where I will never be the same person that I was before I began. And I mean that in a very positive sense.
Yeah, you know, when I listen to people like you, a little part of me thinks, gee, why couldn't I have been blessed to do that? And then it's like this other voice argues with me and says, but Natalie, look what you're doing. You are presenting people like you, Carol, and many, many others over all these years out into the world when they might not even know about you, unless they hear something about you or they see your book or something. And I do agree to that, and I do love that, but I think there's a little part of me that wishes I could do something like that. Now, I am clairaudient, but I'm not clairaudient to the point where I can just ask a question and get an answer. It doesn't come like that for me. It's like a sporadic. And, you know, when I'm in the etheric, just before I wake up, maybe a phone will ring. It's not my phone, but a phone will ring one time. I've heard 3 knocks on the wall when somebody was going to pass. I hear a harp. Somebody, an angel played the harp. One strum of the harp. And I knew somebody was going to pass. But
that
that's all
is
I
so
get.
Cool about the phone. I have to tell you, I have had the very same experience.
What does it mean?
And
I don't know.
I'm convinced it was probably my spirit team. That's my terminology for spirit guides.
Yeah.
I'm really convinced that it was them saying, it's time to wake up now.
Yeah.
But I've never heard.
You know, sometimes it's really loud. Sometimes it's even up to 3 rings.
Yes.
And I'll bolt up and I'll even call back because I have a call back on my phone. And it was a call from the day before, so I know it's coming from the spirit world. And I'll sit up and I'll say, okay, what are you, you making an announcement? Are you trying to tell me something or something? But I think it probably means something different for everybody. But I don't know. I've never gotten the answer. That's the only time I can really hear. Hearing like you and I talking, I have a reading later today. Doesn't mean I'm going to hear anything. But I do get things in my head, and it could be whatever, to tell the person. I do astrology when I start off. I don't even look at it because I already know. But so part of that is like I don't even know, but I don't see things. I don't ever see things. Those are the only, I'm only clairaudient to the point just before I wake up, and that's it. So I feel pretty good. I'm in your company.
Yeah, well, you know, you brought up a really important point. Everyone who is working in this field professionally, there's usually one of the three clairs, you know, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance. By the way, there's also clairalience, which is smelling or tasting through the spiritual senses. And the clairgustience, that's particularly is tasting, doesn't have a physical origin. But I have had that happen, many times. Say, for example, somebody was a heavy drinker, and I have not drank alcohol personally in 41 years. But I will get that just a thought or, you know, which arises then the taste of alcohol. And that is from that blending with the spirit entity, the spirit, the soul and spirit. So everyone has a different sense that may be a little bit more prevalent than the others. Everything arises, however, from the other two senses of clairvoyance and clairaudience really arise from clairsentience, which is a sensing, and that is not just feeling, but it's an impression.
Right.
And I liken it to if I had a painting in front of you, I hold it up and it's covered with a cloth, and I say, now, Natalie, when I take this cloth off, I want you to tell me your impressions of it. And then
right.
I remove the cloth, and you tell me, oh, this makes me feel really sad. This makes me feel enlivened. So those are examples of clairsentience so that everybody in the audience can really understand. And we all have that. It's a matter of really honing it and developing it and, importantly, trusting it.
Right, and you know, for me, I still have her as my mentor. She gave me Reiki too, you know, and she always said to me, I mean, she was really very gifted, and she said, well, you worked for hundreds of psychics, because I did up in Michigan, a huge organization, and I was always not really jealous, but just a little sad that I couldn't do what they could do. And then it went away. That feeling went away. I didn't worry about it anymore because obviously I was on a path, and most of them are probably not even doing readings anymore, and look at me, what I'm doing. I'm handling everything. But you know, you're talking about smell. After my mother passed away, which was in January of this particular year, that summer, my son and I, he walked out of this bathroom in this hotel, and he said, Mom, you smell anything? And I inhaled, and I said, yes, I do. He said, what do you smell? I said, it's Taboo, the perfume my mother used to wear. He said, it's exactly what I smell, her perfume. Now,
actually get smell of, let's say grandma used to bake apple pies all the time, or, you know, mom always had a pot of coffee brewing. I've had many clients who have told me they've had experiences like that. They wake up and the whole house is filled with with a smell that was very familiar to the deceased loved one or something that they always made or ate. I've personally had that happen as well, but it was from the previous inhabitant of the house that I lived in.
Oh yeah. Oh geez. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's the only time I ever really smelled anything. But then I get the hearing. I'll get the phone ring, and the harping. The harp. The strum of the harp that woke me up. 2 days later, my dear friend who used to host my show, because she was a medium, I said, what do you think it means? She said, well, really, she said, you need to determine that for yourself, because she said, I cannot tell you. What do you think it means? And I said, well, it seems to me it's the angels announcing to me that somebody would be crossing over, but I had no idea who. And 3 days later, it was her. And I never heard it since, and I'm glad, because I don't want to hear that. We were very close. We did the radio show together. I was devastated. I didn't even know. But I did know. I was actually being prepared a little bit for it, but I didn't know who it was. And I have heard, and you've heard about the three knocks on the wall. That's the three knocks of death. I have heard that before. Loud knocks. And so that to me means, doesn't mean somebody that's important to me. It just means somebody that I'm going to know of. But I don't get it all the time, Carol. It's like, but I guess it's kind of nice I don't. Because can you imagine being woke up and hearing all these sounds like a bell? The other thing I heard was an ice cream bell. You know when the ice cream man used to come around?
Yes.
I heard that. Now, that could have been just a reminder. I just remembered it. A reminder to me to remember when it was like when you were 8 and 9 years old, how happy you were waiting for this man ringing that bell because he brought ice cream and popsicles and to the kids in the summertime. I think that's what that meant to me, and I think sometimes, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, you get little things maybe because of the state that you're in mentally or you're feeling like, oh, I'm getting old or whatever, and then something beautiful will happen like that to you, and it takes you back. And I just remembered it talking to you now because we're talking about sounds and things. I don't think I've ever heard of anything else except those that I told you, but it's really strange.
I am so relieved to know that someone else has had the experience of a phone ringing, waking them up. It's quite extraordinary. I haven't had that in a long time, but as you can imagine, many other strange paranormal things in my life, which from the time I was young, I was interested in everything paranormal. Particularly, I remember as a child, and I've written about this in the books that I've written, my father's mother, who I love dearly, and she loved me in return. We were walking through the cemetery. I was a child. I mean, I was 7 or 8 years old, and it was a Catholic cemetery. So on the tombstones, some of them had photographs, covered in glass, of the deceased, and some of them were children. And, you know, from the early 1900s, probably passed from pneumonia or the flu or whatever. And I remember letting go of my grandmother's hand, walking over and staring at that photo and saying, where is this soul now? And why would God take a child, you know? This was my curious mind. I've always been a person from the time I was very young, who needed to know what was going on beneath the surface of life. You know, I was never content with, this is the way it is. I would always question, and I think I drove my parents kind of crazy with that. I still do that today as far as I want to know the truth, so I'm going to dig to find it. And so
I do that too. I do a lot of research, and I never used to do that before. And knowledge is power always. The more you know, the better off you are to be an enlightened soul, really. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. I do research on everything, and it's really funny, but I was never like this in school, Carol. I was quiet. I didn't let people know how intelligent I was. I just listened and I watched, and that's what I did. I didn't want to stand out in front of anybody. I hated book reports, oral book reports, and so the teacher finally realized how smart I was. She would have me come to the desk, tell me about the book. Just tell me what you read. That was it, and I get an A. or wait, I think it was the A, I forget, then it was like you could get satisfactory, unsatisfactory, or outstanding. That's what it was on the report cards then. But nobody knew. And it wasn't until doing the magazine and doing the radio and talking to people like yourself that I realized how and how important the things that I was doing then led up to what I'm doing now. But I think to myself, I was telling you about my friend Ricky who gave me Reiki 2, 1 and 2, and she said, can you imagine with all that you do and then you were going to do readings? She said, you'd be swirling around. Yeah. So she said, you have to understand. She explained it well. She said, you have to understand that this was chosen for you to do in this way. You have gifts in a lot of areas. It's not concentrated in just, you know, I can read cards, I can do astrology. But she said, it's not concentrated and focused, so that's not all you're going to do in your life. Well, it's true. I didn't know it, and I've known her 25 years. I didn't know it at the time what I would be doing totally. And she said, and also you're a leader. She said, people follow you. People want to be with you. And she said, so how many of you? She said, I'm a recluse. I don't like to be around anybody. I said, well, I like my time alone. And she said, yeah, but you mingle well. You talk well, she said. And I, you know, so I started thinking about it that way. But like even for you, Carol, what you can do, mediumship has got to be the top of my list that I would so like to experience at some point in my life. I just, I don't know. And I sometimes I think, though, timing is everything, as you know. It's of the utmost. I mean, you can want something, and, you know, the divine or whatever you believe in will say, no, not right now. But it doesn't mean you're not going to eventually have it, maybe in a different way than you expected. Maybe, and we would have to think in a better way than you wanted it. I tell people that all the time in my readings. But how, I mean, how did you know you could do this? I guess that's what I want to find out. How did you know?
Well, when I went to Delphi, and this was back in the 90s, it was a 1-week intensive course. You open very quickly. You're going to instruction from morning till night. And I mean literally 8 o'clock in the morning, breakfast, and then there's a class in late morning, then there's lunch, then there's another, and then you had supper, and then we went till 10 o'clock at night. So you open very quickly under that sort of intensity. So we had to do readings for the public in order to graduate, and each of us had to do 3 readings. So I was terrified, of course. And in Wisdom from the Spirit World, which is my most recent book, I wrote about that experience of that reading and in the beginning of the book. And I was absolutely floored that this complete stranger sitting across from me was validating what I was saying. Because mind you, I mean, you know, here I am in my late 30s, had not done anything like this previously. And here I was telling this person who I had never met before very accurate things about herself. Now, in those days, I had not yet opened up the doorway to mediumship. That happened spontaneously when I was doing tarot for people. It just came out of the blue. The same with the Akashic Records, you know, reading the Akashic Records, just spontaneously came to me, popped up out of nowhere. And so, you know, it was just out of the blue, really, that's how it occurred to me. However, I do know that I have done this before, and what I mean by that is by studying my own natal chart, because I'm, like you, very, very studied in astrology. I've studied it for many years. Looking at my birth chart, you can see it right there, that I was born with a sensitivity. Now, that doesn't mean that automatically, oh, here I am, I'm a fully developed medium. No. It's just like any other skill, like being a musician or an athlete. You can be born with a predisposition, but you need to nurture that, and you need training.
You need to hone your skill. You really do.
You have to coddle it, yes. And so you're never really finished. And I'm simply in awe, and I'm humbled by Spirit working with me to help people, you know, and they never fail me, never. They never fail me. So it's been, I was kind of put on the fast track all of a sudden, you know, after this business burn that I was operating, and everything has come from there.
Yeah, you know, when you think about all the doors that open for you, and you go through them, but it takes you to another door and another. But doing anything spiritually can be very frightening. I mean, I imagine some people, now, because we have listeners, I imagine some of them have had things happen, and they're taken aback. I mean, oh, my God, what was that? What was that? You know, I have never been afraid because after my parents died, it was less than 5 months apart for them when they passed away, and I was an only child. I started looking as to why. Why would this happen to a little girl losing both parents so quickly? And my best friend then said to me, it's really her fault, and she has since passed on, and I'm sure she's listening. She said to me, well, why don't you do astrology? She said, you can do anything. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you can do anything. I'm telling you. And she said, you're going to hear that again and again. You can do anything. Well, I dabbled in it, but then I got two mentors who are great astrologers who kind of called me and took me under their wing, got me into the American Federation of Astrologers, because then you had to be represented. Somebody had to sponsor you. And one of them did, and I started learning, and I guess, but then I got off the beaten track. I started learning astrology really well, but then I learned from this one old lady, and I say that in reverence, for she was wonderful. She told me how to get an answer to a question, and she showed me the method with a chart. Well, I started experimenting. And then I got this exposure to all of these psychics that I had to handle for this big, huge group in Michigan. But then I didn't stay in that. I went off into the tennis world. I mean, I was everywhere, just everywhere. But Carol was always in of service. I've always been of service, always, ever since I was a little girl. So you see, I think if you want to look at it this way, and for you, your guidance, you got put down the different road. I was down a road, but my road, I mean, I was going to be talking to everybody and their mother and their brother and their father about different careers and different aspects of their life, people who write books and entertainers. I've had some of them. I have the ability to talk to people without notes at all. I mean, I get notes about you. She does it, but I don't even look at them. I don't have to, because I pull out the information. So I guess, in a way, it would be like you doing my job. Hold on to your seat, Carol.
Well, you know, every soul, and this is really important for people to understand, not just with this field of mediumship or psychism or, you know, being an astrologer, every soul is unique, even though we're all the same underneath that, because we're all spirit. But the pathway is what it is. And, you know, in Wisdom from the Spirit World, the whole first section, Natalie, is called You Signed Up for This. And it's all about the Akashic Record, which is the book of the soul, everything the soul has done. Each individual soul has an Akashic file. So the soul actually will know inherently, intuitively, what it needs to evolve closer to God. And so, you know, for some of us, it's the pathway, this pathway that we're on. For others, it's through working in science or teaching,
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, owning a business. Not one profession or pathway is more important than another. They're all equally valid. They're all about evolution towards that ultimate reason for us being here, and that is a reunion with the Creator.
Yeah, and I think as soon as you recognize and hold on to the things that you make you feel good, number one, you're like for me, I say this every day because I talk to God and Jesus every single day. Jesus I have an affinity with. But I feel that I am of service and will continue to be of service no matter what is required of me. I say this every day. And I have been given like an animal kingdom in my own backyard, and this is real. So I have that. As I got older, it wasn't until maybe the last 2 years, I realized you don't have to be a reader, Natalie. All you have to do is keep doing what you're doing. And somebody was on the show, I don't even know when, but she told me, she says, you've already paid your dues, you know. She said, you don't have to worry about a thing now. Just go out and keep doing what you're doing. And I don't know that they're called dues, but what she meant was you've already incarnated enough that probably she felt this was my last one. And I said, well, you know, I guess I have the best of all the worlds. I get to talk to beautiful people like yourself, Carol. I get to talk to entertainers. I get to meet, I just interviewed 40 new advisors, all of these gifted people. And, you know, when I'm talking to them and I ask them to do just a little tiny reading, I said, it doesn't have to be, Johnny, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be true. I just want to see how you handle yourself. That's what, because you're representing me. This is my site. So I've got all of these, I guess you could call them gifts. Maybe not normal. Maybe not everybody would be doing what I'm doing, but sometimes I just get this feeling, like talking to you, that I wish I would be contacted more with other things, like more phone rings, more, you know, I'll get visits from the Cardinals, two red Cardinals. I had three of them in one day at one time, and I knew that was people that have passed. So I said hello to them. I said, I don't know which ones you are, but I'm awful glad you're here. And so I guess I'm saying to the people that will be listening and that are listening, just keep on the path that you're on and love and do good and care. And it's going to be nice. I mean, we're all in our own little cubicle, and we all need to know what makes us happy. And like you, I'm sure you doing your mediumship readings makes you very happy, especially when you're talking to somebody and you can hear something in them. You feel the vibration. It's all up. I mean, that's how I explain it to people. So, I mean, it's not being jealous or envious. I just wish that I could, but I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And do I love it? I love it more than you can imagine, just like you, Carol. But,
well, my sense is with you that you are from and the new book I have coming out later this year, I talk about these things called soul pods. And the pod is the same. You can interchange the word group for that. These are, souls who are connected through the same theme. For example, you mentioned a couple of times about, being of service. So, there's the group of the soul pod of healers. There's a soul pod of those who do selfless service,
yeah.
Kind of like the sign of Virgo, right? So Virgo is a strong earth sign connected,
yes,
with service. So it really depends, if we're still on that ray, I call them rays as well, meaning emanating from God, and it's all serving God, all of it, if we're in alignment with that. If we follow our natural inclination of our soul pod, then we definitely are meeting with our purpose, which, by the way, is the number one question that I have been asked through multiple readings. What is my purpose? I have been asked that so many times. That is probably the common denominator through all of many, many readings. People want to know. They think it might be a career. Well, yeah, a career is it's part of that. But the primary purpose is an alignment with God in whatever form that might take. Like, as you were saying, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, if you're helping the homeless, you're you know, helping the elderly or the, you know, mentally challenged people. You know, it's all an alignment with the Creator. And I'm a student of A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles says, everything that I give to my brother, I give to myself. So, you know, there is no loss when we give, because everything we give returns to us as well, and it nourishes us.
I agree totally. I did you ever want to do something else? That's a strange question. I mean, did you ever say to yourself, I don't know that I want to keep doing this all my life. Why was this dumped in my lap? Why do I have to? Did you ever think about that?
Well, I can.
What did you want to do?
I can tell you this. It's not so much I wanted to do something else. It's that if I had a dollar for every time I wanted to quit with mediumship, because as I tell people, because I'm very transparent, I'm very genuine. This is not an overnight thing. You cannot take a weekend workshop and declare yourself a medium. I've been really dismayed to see a lot of that going on nowadays. It takes years of dedication and sitting in circles, sitting in development. So my problem was more, I got some bad feedback in the earlier days from a client. I'm going to quit. And, you know, over the years, I've said that multiple times. And then something, Natalie, will happen that will reinforce, you know, that I need to remain on this pathway. So it's kind of like that's – I know it's coming from my ego of going, you know what, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. Thank goodness I didn't do that. But if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, you know what I would love to do? I would have loved to have been a professional musician.
Oh.
And I wish I could play an instrument. You know,
play
I have
harp.
A cousin who does that.
Like I heard,
but
oh my gosh.
Yes. I would love
to have been
a professional musician.
Yeah, you sit back and you think, I mean, I've got so much going on right now, and I'm very happy when I'm busy. A busy mind is a healthy mind. Everybody needs to remember that. But for me, you know, I was in the tennis world for a long time. I ran a big, huge club with the head pro. I mean, I played tennis very well, but I was older when I got into it. You have to be a teenager. You have to be really – so that wasn't even something that I – wanted to do. I can't really think of anything that if somebody said, okay, Natalie, tell me what you would like to do and we'll make it happen for you right now. I couldn't do it. Because I wouldn't want to give up what I'm doing because I really do love it. You know, after talking to you today, I will go sit outside because it's beautiful here in South Carolina. I'll just meditate. Because of all the beautiful stuff that you're saying, I do that a lot with my guests on the radio. People say, oh, you just talk to them. No, I really don't. I really listen and I learn. And I don't know what I would have done. I'm pretty happy with what I've got and what I'm doing. It's more so about what I'm doing. And even saying to myself, well, it'd be nice if you make some money at it. But that's not even it with me. all I want to do is bring everything to the world that I can. And like even the sites that I have, both sites that I have, I do it because of all of you. I don't do it for me. It's for all of you to see and learn and appreciate and maybe be guided into something. I don't know. But I'm not selfish in any way. I'm probably too giving, as my son says. But you know what, Carol? I don't know any other way to do it. I just can't. That's just me, you know.
Well, you know what the truth that I learned, it's been a long time now. If you focus, and no matter what you're doing, doesn't just have to be mediumship or, you know, astrology or any the metaphysical field. If you focus on service first, everything else follows with that.
It does.
Because you're putting that as the ultimate intent. Intent is everything, because intent fuels what happens in our life. So if we intend something, that is sort of the piloting of our life. And that's why it's so important, too, no matter what type of business that a person might be running or what they're doing, that they have sort of a mission statement. And that, you know, that is sort of the blueprint for the entire job or business. So, and it should always be service in some regard to the customer and to the client.
Well, that's how I feel, and I feel I was groomed to be doing what I'm doing. I really was. I started with all of these readers, all these, I should call them advisors, because, you know, back, way back, Miss Cleo and all that nonsense gave us all a bad rap, no matter what we were doing.
Yes.
Astrologers, it didn't matter. It was a bad rap. And so we had to rebuild and get trust back. But, you know, I think if you can be of service in some way, a tiny way. I mean, I'm in a big way, but if you can do it in a tiny way, it's just going to make you feel so good inside. And I noticed, too, you can turn around something if you talk to somebody, and maybe they're having a bad day. You don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe that's why they're a little snappy with you when you're in the store. You don't know. I mean, you know, but I always say to myself, okay, something must have happened today or the last week or something that they're like this. So what I do is I go the extra effort to make them smile and be kind. And I'm very kind to them. I don't snap back with, well, really? You know, some people are like that. They end up doing battle with people because they don't understand, and you have to have respect for everybody. Like you. Say you had something going on this morning that didn't make you happy. I would never know it in this conversation because you have the ability, because of what you do, to switch gears, go into a different pair of shoes or no shoes, and be what you are. That's what people have to learn. I learned that a really long time ago, but I just you know, what you do is just so beautiful, I believe, and to have that connection. But I think everybody needs to realize we all have a connection. It's just all in a different way. Think about it. If you really think about it,
that's,
you know,
exactly,
there are some people that can really.
Yeah. That brings up a really, really, for me, I guess, important point. You will never hear me use the word gifted for myself. People, you know, through the course of years have referred to me as that. However, you will not see that on my website, and you will not hear me say that in interviews. Because I am so aware of ego taking over in some insidious way. It's a skill. And, yeah, there are certain people, just like being an athlete, a musician, or anything else you have a natural inclination for. But it was earned, and it also has to be honed. So, as we were saying earlier. So I'm very cognizant of ego in some way, you know, it can be very insidious. And it's very important to get out of the way, you know, and particularly in this field, because it is not about the conduit. It is about spirit, and it is about that person on the other end of the phone or sitting in front of you or the group. I do a lot of group mediumship. It's about that receiver, that recipient, and importantly, my commitment as a medium is to those in spirit. I know people think that that's kind of odd, like, well, isn't it because of the client? You know, they're paying for the session or whatever. Yes, but it is also a service and a commitment to those in the spirit world who need to get their message through my conduit to their loved one who is here.
Yeah, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me, but, you know, being a kind of like in this field, if you want to call it, for so many years and talking to so many people, I don't know, I think you're number 300 and something, whatever, show, but even when I worked for America Online, I was shown... that's when I decided I needed to do my own sites because I didn't like the way things were running. And I recognized that right away. But you see, that was a little nudge for me, I think. And I think that's what happens. You get a nudge. And then you get an interest. And, oh, I want to do that. I want to learn how to do that. I have not had that. I mean, I can read regular cards and I can read tarot cards. I didn't start with tarot. I started with regular cards, and I took courses in numerology, which is really great to know. I mean, you can connect connect all the dots if you want. You really want. So, but I've gone to mediums before. Actually, she was like in this trance, and I had never been. My friend that I started working for, she was a psychic, and she brought me there, and I sat there. And I was listening to her, and she was talking in a different voice. But then I was saying to myself, I don't know if I believe her or not. That's the truth. I only went to her one time. My friend took me one time because she wanted to do it as a gift for her friend to give to me. But I walked away, and I wasn't that impressed with her, to tell you the truth. But that was many years ago, back in the 90s, before I started Planet Stars. So I think there are different, aren't there different forms of mediumship? Aren't there different?
Yes. It seems to me that what you were describing there was more of a so-called trance. That's where, and that's very rare, by the way, very, very rare. It seems to me that that's what that person was doing. I personally am extremely suspect of people who claim that they are channeling this entity or that entity or this group. I'm very suspect of that. I'm not saying they're not giving out some decent things, but they could just be channeling their higher self. Trance mediumship, again, it takes years to develop that.
She was an older lady, but her voice even changed.
Yeah. Well, she could be legitimate. I don't know.
I think she was, but it didn't leave me with this feeling like, oh, I want to do that. No, I mean, I walked away with what she said. Some of it made sense. Some of it was like off in the far somewhere or another.
Yes.
You know, but it was kind of nice because I got exposed to another form. Had I not done that, I would never have known. But she changed her voice. She was well known in the Detroit area for doing it. And she was very close to the friend that I did work for. And I was very fortunate that she sat with me. And the room was dark and it was cold. I didn't feel comfortable at all, Carol. I don't know how. I can remember not, I don't like this. I didn't like it. And I don't know. Maybe that was a way of protecting myself. maybe it affected her when she was talking. And she wasn't really talking to me. She was talking through somebody else in a different voice. And I didn't ask questions either. I wasn't allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one type of, again, it's very rare. I'm talking genuine, legitimate trance. You know, like Edgar Casey, the famous American psychic back in the 1920s, he was a legitimate trance medium. Casey would actually leave his body, this other soul would come in, really spoke in a biblical type of language. His readings are kind of difficult to follow because of the language. It's like Old English. So he was a legitimate trance. Then there's what I do and what others do. It's called evidentiary mediumship. It's mental mediumship. And that is where there's this phenomena called blending that occurs, and that's a blending of my soul with the soul in the spirit world. And through that process, that's how information drop by drop, or piece of evidence by piece of evidence, comes through. So, you know, it's very important with evidentiary mediumship that facts are presented, things that I would have no way of knowing as the conduit. And it's not to prove how great of a medium I am. It's for identification of the communicating spirit, but also it creates a deeper heart connection and proves the continuity of life, that the soul survives physical death. A lot of times in readings, you know, the spirit communicator might say, I'm aware of this or that event in the sitter's or the recipient's life. And what that's saying is, that happened after I died, but I'm aware of it because I go on. I did not die with my body. I am still aware of your life and, you know, events that have happened, birthdays, anniversaries. I know that you've been ill. I know you've been hurting. Whatever it might be, that's evidentiary mediumship.
Yeah.
Now, there's psychism, which is, you know, I'm like you. I've studied the tarot for years and years and years. I could read the cards in my sleep. I mean, I'm so familiar with them, and I'm sure you are too. And so, you know, there's different things on the cards that will pop out to you when you're reading them. And, you know, it's sort of like that's a form of clairsentience, something that needs to be emphasized to that recipient of the reading, something that to you has meaning that you can interpret and then pass along to them. So, yes, there are different facets, different dimensions to the work, that's for sure.
I never had a desire to go back to her. Part of it was because it came off as being very scary. And she was an older lady, a lot older than me. And I didn't like being in the dark, and I didn't like being so cold. I mean, I don't know what and the lady that I did work for her, she tried to do, the lady's name was Levon. She tried to do what she was, but she couldn't do it. She was just not, I don't want to say she wasn't good enough, but, you know, Marlene was her name. She could read candle wax. She had a deck of cards that she could read from. That's really how I got started into cards, was because of her. Now, remember, my parents had not passed away yet, so everything was opening up for me. But I take responsibility for everything. And the lady, Carol, she didn't impress me. I shouldn't say that. But maybe that's what it was about. Maybe it was to show me what I don't like, to show me just another facet of what people can do. But she probably was pretty good, I mean, because she changed her voice. I knew that. And I think she had something with me. She said she got something called Running Bear. I mean, it was always about bears with her. That was my guide, was Running Bear. And, I mean, now I was a total novice in all this. I mean, I didn't have a lot of exposure. Now I would know and be better, you know, because I had to interview all of these people that did all kinds of readings, all kinds of crystal ball and crystals. And so you see what happened way back for me to bring me forth to where I am. And, you know, everybody has a gift, and they have to understand that. You just have to know what to do with it and take responsibility for it, which you do. I want to mention your site before we close out our show. It's gone by so fast. Your site is Soul Visions, SoulVisions.net. Now, Carol has on there events. She's got her webinars. She's got private appointments, group mediums. She's got everything here. She's got facts, testimonies, and contact, and everything is there. It's a beautiful color. It's a purple, pretty pale lavender, I should say. And her beautiful picture is sitting right there. You know, I'm so happy you came on the show, because I've always been impressed with you, even the last time you were here. And I know when your new book comes out, Gavin's going to say you want her again. of course.
Yeah, oh, I'd be honored. Thank you.
Go ahead, Carol.
I was just going to it's always a blessing to connect with hosts like you. There's a lot of dedication I know that you give to your work and to your listeners. And I'm grateful to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been a nonstop conversation. And for those who may not have been listening right away, I'll have the whole audio ready to go. I will send it to you, Carol. I think it's important, because a lot of people say, oh, I missed it. Even though it was announced on social media, people get busy in their day, but they have a chance to hear it again. Hear it anyways, the first time. For me, it's just my honor to have you, really. I have goosebumps with you. I have a very nice feeling with you that you are genuine, you're honest, you're sincere, and you give all of yourself just like I do. See, I recognize that. I know. I know what that takes. It takes a lot.
It's not
simple. It's not like, oh, well, here I am, I'm going to do this. It's just like, and I'm continually getting goosebumps with you. And I'm glad I have something similar, that you hear a phone ring like me. That makes me feel really good.
There's two of us.
I tell my son that. Now I can say I'm not really crazy. I do hear this phone ring once. Not every day. But it's an announcement. It's almost like, Natalie, listen. Natalie, you got to listen. And if it's a loud one, if it's three of them, then I know, uh-oh, something important. But, you know, you take each step. And I think, like with you, you accept it and you go on and you continue doing your great work. You're a beautiful person. You really are, Carol.
Thank you so much.
And we will do this again after your new book comes out. And for everybody listening, I hope you enjoy the show. And I always end the show in the same way. And that is, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'll say you are loved. It's a beautiful world. Look out the window or the door and spread all that beautiful light that you have and all your love. It will come back to you. I'm telling you, it really, really does. So everybody have a great day, and know you are loved very much. Bye-bye.